The Black and Abdallah podcast is brought to you by DuPage Credit Union. Don't settle for dealership financing when you can apply for a low-rate vehicle loan at DuPage Credit Union. Visit DuPageCU.com. By member's choice, this financial institution is not federally insured. DuPage Credit Union. Banking inspired.
It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
So the Cubs busy all the way till the lockout, or at least all the way till 5 or 6 hours before the lockout, is right before the Waddle and Sylvie show was coming to an end with Michael Wilbon in studio. And if you missed it, Wilbon was here from 5 to 6. Check it out on the ESPN Chicago app.
In studio.
Yep. He was in studio having a good time. He's a big Cub fan. And he didn't seem very excited about the Stroman deal. And it's amazing. He is a very short guy. He's 5'7", but, you know, he can throw the ball
Look,
well.
He's a longtime journalist, right? When it was first announced, it was like, you know, was it Stroman that said, yay, Cubs, or something very non-obvious? And he's like, show me the proof. Show me the real press release. Well, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So, you know, people have been doing that for a while, probably get burned here and there, so they want to see the real news, and it finally happened.
Yeah, it did happen. So if you want to talk about that, 312-332-3776, Fred and Xander in for Black and Abdallah. The White Sox, on the other side, the White Sox did announce the signing of Kendall Graveman from last week. That became official the last day or so. And also, Leury García gets a little more than $5 million a year, three-year contract.
16 point something.
Yeah, he sticks around, so that's good for White Sox. It is good for the White Sox.
As long as they don't say, this is all we're doing, that's it.
I don't want him being my everyday guy. I like Leury García. He can step up. He struggled at the very beginning of last season, defensively and offensively, and then for the rest of the year had a pretty good year. He actually, after the first couple of weeks, he actually led the White Sox in RBIs like halfway through the season. He was very, very good. Now he'll be here. He says he's wanted to stay here. He's the longest tenured player on the White Sox team, which is kind of hard to believe. It shows you how this team has turned around and turned over the last couple of years.
I just don't see a need to see him in right field. I mean, you know what? Center was okay. I guess left was all right. But, you know, I'd like to see him do what he needs to do in the infield. Yeah. I mean, he's a good infielder.
Because his play, the play in right field was just one that sticks out.
Still hurts.
Yeah. You hit a line drive and all of a sudden over his head goes back to the wall. It was brutal.
Three steps up.
Yeah.
And not enough steps back.
That can happen in an early season game. It can't happen when you get to playoffs and postseason and things like that. 312-332-3776. So Rick Hahn talked earlier today to the media, talked about being aggressive and how aggressive the Sox have or have not been in free agency so far.
So no, I like to talk about deals that we complete, not deals that aren't complete or guys that sign elsewhere. Just sort of the nature of how we handle things. It's been a very busy month, and right now, at December 1st, the two additions we have since the end of the year are Leury and Kendall Graveman. Another oldie but a goodie that we talk about seemingly every December at the winter meetings. The opening day roster is not due in December. It's due come opening day. Fully expect there to be further additions over the course of the next several months, and for the team to look better on opening day than it does today. And if we're once again blessed with the ability to stay in contention through the summer, I suspect it's going to look even better after the trade deadline than it looks on opening day. The goal is obviously remains the same, to be in as strong a position to be in the postseason and succeed in the postseason come next fall. Today's December 1st. Feel like we're better than we were on November 1st, and that work's going to continue right up until opening day and through the trade deadline next summer.
Your thoughts on Rick Hahn's comments? Now, he said one thing, and he said it again last year. He's consistent. He says it all the time. Our opening day roster is not till opening day. It's December 1st. Okay, opening day sometime in the last week of March.
Right, that's what he's supposed to say. That's his job. Right. But it's reporters' jobs and fans' jobs to say, what are you going to do? When are you going to do it? You know, when because we're excited.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we're not running the team because we would have made a bunch of bad moves already.
Well, to do something. Some of them. I mean, you want a second baseman, and I guess they're going to keep, you know, Marcus Semien going down to Texas. He's going to stay at second base with Corey Seager coming over to play shortstop, and they've spent a lot of money.
That was a bit of a surprise. I thought Semien was going to angle for that shortstop.
Yeah, but you know what? He got to the point probably where they said, you know what? You're going to give me that kind of money. I'll play wherever you want me to play. And he's going to get paid for a long, long time. So that's a good thing. Han was asked, and I know the reporter's job is to press him on things, but any more signings before the lockout?
We currently have no announcements, further announcements scheduled for today. How's that? Is it possible that something comes together over the next 11 hours? That'd be marvelous. We're certainly open to it. But as of this time, we have no further announcements planned the rest of the day.
So we're good. We don't have to worry about any extended White Sox baseball because there won't be anything else. But he was also asked, as most White Sox fans want to know, do you still have money? Because that always comes up. People say, well, the White Sox are cheap. They don't spend the big money. They don't make the big signings. They don't do that. Han was asked if there's room in the payroll for a big money contract in free agency.
Well, you're asking two different questions. One is whether there is 2022 payroll room for a big number. I would say entering the offseason, the answer to that question was yes. The second part was whether there was contracts as a whole that made sense for the long term of the club. That's a different element. Going to the payroll, you know, we were going to wind up once again, I believe, in 2022 with a record payroll for this club. From my perspective, it will be more than adequate to field a championship caliber club. And that's what our mission is down the hall.
It is. It's exactly what their mission is. And after they got a taste of it the last 2 years, it would be nice to get to the playoffs and win a playoff series.
Yeah, that would be all right. That's the next step. Logical step.
Yeah, not winning against Oakland, not winning against Houston, and then immediately signing the reliever that played for the team that you lost to. Signing Liam Hendricks last year and now getting Kendall Graveman this year.
Does that indicate that we're getting Correa?
that is not probably happening. And I'm surprised that I thought Correa was going to be one of the early guys. He wants a lot of money. I think after seeing what Corey Seager got, Correa's out there all the time. Corey Seager has a tendency of getting hurt here and there. Correa's going to look for more than 10 years, 325.
Sure he is.
He's going to look for 12 maybe and more. Now, the question is, who can pay, who can spend that kind of money? And I'm eager to see what happens. I'm also eager to see what's going to happen with Chris Bryant, what's going to happen with Correa. But these are two guys, you know, Chris Bryant being a Scott Boras guy, I didn't expect him to sign early. He's going to wait till he gets the best offer. Sure. And I know there's probably a lot of teams out there now not doing a whole heck of a lot because of the lockout. 312-332-3776. So if you want to talk some Cubs with Marcus Stroman added to the rotation, or the White Sox with any of the things Rick Hahn said, and also, how do you feel about a rotation in right field of Andrew Vaughn against left-handers and Gavin Sheets against right-handers? That just means that you're going to see a lot more of Gavin Sheets than Andrew Vaughn, which is not a bad thing. I loved what I saw from Gavin Sheets. Mm-hmm. But if you really like Andrew Vaughn, who struggled a lot at the end of the season last year, it was his first full season playing with the White Sox in the big club. I expect better from him next year. We'll wait and see. And I also expect another catcher. I expect another starting pitcher. So the White Sox can figure some of that stuff out if and when this lockout comes to an end.
Yeah, we need to do something in right field. That seems to be an okay solution, but has anybody ever thought, and we have a lot of assets. I mean, is Rick Hahn considering trading one of those for a big time, if there is a big time right fielder available?
Yeah.
You know, keeping the left-handed bat. You know, I'd hate to see Vaughn go, but we do have some assets.
Well,
if we need it, this is a pressing matter. The window's only open for so long. What do we do?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that's the solution in right field.
312-332-3776. Darren on Twitter got to us and said, okay, I'm biased, but you had a caller earlier praising Reinsdorf for his business acumen. That's cool, but it's also going to be the reason the White Sox are going to keep coming up short with a loaded team. You see the Tampa Bay Rays. Every year, they don't spend money. And every year, they're
one
there.
Of the lowest payrolled teams.
Right. You don't have to spend money.
You just have to be smart.
In order to win. You've got to make the right decisions. You've got to have the right talent evaluators. And that's the biggest thing. Do the White Sox have that? You know, they have done well enough to secure guys like Luis Robert, make the deal with the Cubs to get Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease.
And then sign them to longer contracts right. early.
Sign them so they're sticking around for yep. a long time. I love that. Now, obviously, there's other people that are out there who are saying, well, you signed them too early, this, and this. But you do that off the bat.
You lock them in.
You know they're locked in. Tim Anderson's locked in for another year or two.
If they don't work out, you could trade them.
Yes, you can move them, and that's always an easier thing to do. 312-332-3776. So jump on in. You want to talk about that. And also, if you have an opinion on the playoff thing that they're trying to float out there. Jesse said he doesn't think this one's going to work, but what was your opinion of it, Mark? Because the expanded – now, I don't mind. I would rather just stay with the division winners and two wildcard teams. And then if you want to give your division winner – you know, if you don't want to have the wildcard teams play each other – and if you want to say, listen, we're going to have the three division winners and two wild cards, but we're going to change the playoffs a little bit. The team with the best record in baseball in the American League and in the National League gets a bye. And the second team, you know, second division winner plays one wild card team, other division winner plays the other wild card team. You could do that. But what they're trying to do, or one of the things that have been floated out there, is adding two wild cards. So you'd have three division winners
and four wild cards. You know why they're adding.
Well, for a lot of reasons.
Money.
It's always about money. And as Jesse said, the postseason means more games for ESPN TV.
Right, right. But how deep do you go? We've got cold weather cities like this.
Yeah.
That don't have dome stadiums.
Right.
What are we going to do?
Yeah.
You know what? I think, well, first of all, what you mentioned, I think that's better than what they're suggesting, but I actually need a schematic from what Jesse was saying, because, you know, you want fans to be able to follow along. At what point are you losing fans because you're trying to make things so convoluted?
Yeah.
And I know it's about money, but, you know, we had a caller bring up, you know, the gambling thing.
Yeah.
That's going to infuse, that already has infused pro sports with a lot of money.
Do you remember when gambling first got to all the places here and Bet Rivers started and a bunch of others? There was talk that every stadium was going to have kiosks in the concourses so you could walk up to the kiosk and whoever got the deal, Bet Rivers, FanDuel, DraftKings, sure. whatever, points bet, and they would be, you'd be able to walk up to the kiosk and make a bet. Maybe there's no score sixth inning, and instead of using your phone, you're going to the bathroom, you're grabbing a hot dog, and then you stop at a kiosk and say, okay, I'm going to put $20 on the White Sox scoring a run this inning, which you can do. You can do just about everything on these things.
Right.
That hasn't happened yet. We haven't seen them at the United Center. We haven't seen them at the baseball parks.
Well, I think that probably COVID slowed that down.
It slowed it down a lot. It did.
But that makes sense.
Yeah. But the caller was interesting because he said, he said the owners will
get, or the players won't get any.
Yeah. So the players have to go into this saying, listen, if you're going to bring gambling into the stadiums, we need to get a percentage of that. And hopefully Tony Clark and the players reps are knowledgeable about that. You want to talk about this? Jump on in. 312-332-3776. Want to get to some football stuff. When we come back, the Bears getting ready to take on the Arizona Cardinals. Some people say it's going to be really crappy on Sunday. The possibility of, you know, windy and snow and rain and stuff like that. We'll talk about some Bears stuff. And an interesting note on a left tackle that the Bears used to have. They don't have many more. And, of course, he's performing a lot better than he did in a Bears uniform. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Fred and Xander here, 312-332-3776 on ESPN 1000.
When you're at home, don't miss Black and Abdallah. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
It's funny, this was 70s, mid-70s?
Yeah.
Yeah, mid to late 70s.
76.
Yeah, big Stevie. Stuff. Yeah.
Songs of the Key of Life.
Uh-huh.
The album.
Jeff Passan reporting, Marcus Stroman, 3 years, $71
million. $25 million next year.
Yeah, includes an opt-out after the second season. So 25 in the first 2 years, 21 in 24. And so we'll see.
Now, I was saying earlier that it's probably a bargain. You know, these salaries are just increasing so fast. Is that a bargain? I don't think that's a bargain. You know,
It's a lot better than Max Scherzer for 3 years.
Okay, well, but we're talking about Max Scherzer.
It's half of the Max Scherzer money.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Instead of $43 million a year, it's only $25 million a year. So
I am so freaking old, I remember the first million-dollar player.
Go ahead. Just,
who, Nolan Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember thinking, wow.
I know.
How could that go any higher?
Well, Dick Allen was the first, if I'm not mistaken, Dick Allen was the first $250,000 player.
And that was early
70s. Yeah, 71, 72. Uh-huh. Yeah. Let's go out to Valparaiso. And Jay, what's going on, Jay?
Hey there.
How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
I was just wondering if you heard what Carmen was saying. Well, two things, but first, Carmen was wanting Schwarber for the Sox in right field.
Ooh, in right field?
Yeah.
That's been bantered around, especially after the year he had last year.
I don't mind him at the plate. I don't know if I like him in right field.
See, that's the thing.
Yeah. I mean, he played better in left field when he, you know, with the Cubs each and every year. I think he got better. What are your thoughts about it?
Yeah, I would do it.
Yeah, I mean, I like him as the DH. He did struggle so much, Jay, and appreciate the call. He did struggle so much against lefties, but he still hit 30 homers.
Right.
I mean, you know,
we need somebody that can hit and play.
Yeah. It would help.
We have that issue already. Not to say that I would turn down Schwarber's bat.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, going back, if we're looking for that left-handed bat, we already have it. It's Grandal. DH him and get us some Contreras behind the plate.
Well, and I've been going back and forth with
have
people.
Have I lobbied for that enough yet tonight?
I've been, and I don't know that that's ever going to happen. I'd love to see Contreras in a White Sox uniform. But you look at it, last year with Washington and then Boston, Kyle Schwarber combined, he had 32 homers, 71 RBIs. He hit .266. On base was .374, so he got his share of walks, too. So that's not bad. That's not bad for a guy. I know against lefties he hit a lot worse. Let me check this real quick, and we get right back to the callers. Because I know that he did struggle a little bit. Oh, of course, I don't have it right here. But I'll track it down. I know against left-handers, he struggled quite a bit. Here we go, splits. Because he's a guy I like, and he's good in the locker room. Here you go. Against right-hand, well, you know what? His average was the same, but his power was different. His batting average, which nobody cares about anymore, against right-handers, .264 with a .366 on base. Against lefties, it was .268. 389. So his on base was actually better against left-handed pitchers. His home runs, 28 against righties, 4 against lefties. So yeah, he was able to get on base, but he wasn't able to hit the long ball. So we'll see. I mean, I would not be against having Kyle Schwarber coming back to Chicago, just on the other side of town.
Yeah, but what do you do about the defensive?
Yeah, I know.
Right,
I know. That's why.
That's the issue.
Yeah. That's why, as a DH, he'd have to be my DH. So we go to my guy Mo out in Frankfurt. Hey, Mo.
Hey,
we're
there.
Becoming close friends now. What's up?
Oh, I know, man. Three times in 1 week. That's pretty cool. I love you, Fred.
What's going on?
Who are you with today?
I can't
recognize the voice.
Hi.
Oh,
it's
yes.
Xander. How you doing, buddy?
Good, good. So listen, is Javier Baez still out there?
No, he signed with the Tigers two days ago.
Yep. Oh, what a
six
bomb.
6 years, $140 million.
Okay, so what about Correa?
Correa, he's still out there, but he wants
money.
12 years, $320. Or no, probably more
than
that,
like
$350.
Yankees. That's like Yankees territory.
It's big money. Big money.
You know what, Fred, and I'll tell you something. You always think about the money first, but I'm talking about World Series. You know, you shot down my stadium on the water.
I know.
That was me too.
Yeah, we both did. It is. But it is money. That's the problem. You know.
We can't move. We can't move Tim Anderson a second, and then get Carrero.
You probably could. You'd have to. You'd tick off Tim Anderson, and then Correa would be there for a long time. It'd be a great double play combination. But I don't know that I've seen Anderson have to learn how to play the second base position and make the turn and everything else.
Yeah.
And to be real honest with you, and I know Tim Anderson fans are going to get jump on me, but he struggles enough at sometimes at shortstop. So,
but he's gotten better.
He has.
Hopefully, he can get even better.
Mo, keep calling. I love talking to you. Okay.
For sure. I love you. Take care, you guys.
See ya.
312-332-3776. Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do, and I have no idea where Correa is going to show up. Correa is going to probably have to end up with one of the big teams that has no problem spending big money because it's a lot. It's a lot of cash, and I'm not saying he's not worth it. I like Carlos Correa a lot.
What was Seager's deal again?
10 for 3.25. Yeah. Wow. That was more than I thought. I didn't think that was going to happen. I really didn't. Glendale Heights and Tom is out there. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you guys.
You too.
I want to talk about the White Sox with Gavin Sheets and Andrew Vaughn in right field. But before I do that, I just want to address somewhat of a misconception that, like, the Tampa Bay Rays don't spend money. They do spend money, but they spend it differently from other teams. Like, just as an example, the White Sox give Cespedes $2.02 million as a 23-year-old. The Tampa Rays signed Wander Franco at 16 for $3.9 million, who became one of the best prospects in all of baseball, and then they gave him like a 12-year deal for $100 million. They just spend it differently, and they do it where they sign a 16-year-old, like 4 years ago, and then 4 years go by, and then he becomes a really good prospect. So they think, 5 years ahead of every other team. That's why, it's somewhat of a misconception that, granted, they don't spend money in payroll, but they spend money internationally so much better than anyone else, especially the White Sox.
Right, Tom, but that is a huge gamble.
Oh, sure. Oh, no. But it is, though, if you keep spending that money, the White Sox trade that money away. The Tampa Bay Rays, instead, they just throw $5 million or $4 million to a bunch of 16-year-olds every single year, and eventually, over time, that might work. And that's how they kind of keep the train moving, if you will.
See, but the Sox did sign guys like Anderson for long term, and these guys are all making less than they probably could have if they were out in a free agent market. Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert, and probably less than they could have made. But then, I don't mind the way Rick Hahn's been doing it. I understand what you're saying, but I think the White Sox have done that, but they've waited till they were ready to get to the big leagues as opposed to signing them that early for that much money.
Well, but, remember, though, and, not to bring up Fernando Tatis Jr., the White Sox signed him at 17 for $700K.
Right.
And look at what he became. It is, as Xander said, it is a gamble, but when you have so many lottery tickets, eventually they all, not all of them will work.
Sure, it's playing a numbers game.
Yeah, it is.
Right, exactly.
So what's your right field thing?
Well, we've talked before. I love Andrew Vaughn. I like Gavin Sheets.
Yeah.
But the problem is neither one of them is a right fielder.
You're right.
The problem, too, is that what frustrated me this season so much is that in a season where everybody was hurt, Andrew Vaughn only got 469 plate appearances. That doesn't make any sense to me. People can say, he struggled towards the end and he had a problem facing right-handed pitching. That's what guys in their first year kind of do. Remember Yoan Moncada in his first full season struck out 211 times.
Yep.
Lou Bob in the second half of 2020 had a really bad second half.
Sure did.
I kind of understand how younger guys struggle. Andrew Vaughn might have been brought up too early. He might have been brought up anyways because we just had so many injuries. But, like I said, with only 469 plate appearances, in a season where everyone is hurt, Andrew Vaughn should have gotten, 600 plate appearances. A lot of people really liked, the Yermin Mercedes was a really good story. And White Sox fans like me who follow the minors and stuff like that.
For what it lasted, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've heard of him, but the problem is, I remember when he got hot at the beginning of the year, and I'm thinking, okay, this is nice, but at the same time, those are plate appearances we could have given Andrew Vaughn. Those are plate appearances, that we might. I don't think Zach Collins is good. I think he's terrible. But I need to find out if he was any good. What frustrates me as a White Sox fan is, and I'll explain this to where they don't handle downtime very well. And what I mean by that is, now Fred, I know you're going to disagree with this, but I believe that the White Sox had the AL Central wrapped up by July 1st. In all honesty, because you had teams like Minnesota who was terrible, and you had Cleveland who wasn't very good.
Yeah.
What you should have done is given as many like of the younger guys like Andrew Vaughn more plate appearances during that time. Don't give them to Jake Lamb.
Tom. I totally agree with that. And it was as you're talking, it occurred to me it was Tony and his maybe over management, Fred, where they was just moving people in and out, and you got Goodwin, who did okay for us, but then Jake Lamb, you're right. This is about development of players that we're going to have long-term, and those other two, we weren't.
Well, and it's the thing is, too, is that was the time to give him those plate appearances. Mm-hmm. Next year, Detroit might be good. I don't know yet.
Right.
But you might not be able to give it to guys to have them develop. And, you know, going back to, like with Gavin Sheets, like I like Gavin Sheets, but we talk about Gavin Sheets because he's a left-handed power bat.
Right.
And that's because we have nobody else with left-handed power other than, you know, well, Moncada's a switch hitter but doesn't have much power this year.
And Grandal. Yeah,
but those are the only guys who can hit from the left side. So that's why we talk about Gavin Sheets. It's kind of weird. Like with Gavin Sheets, I think of him as kind of, and this is not to be mean, but he's kind of the leftover guy. Like in 2016, we had Zach Collins, who was bad, but he was a left-handed power bat. 2017, you drafted Gavin Sheets in the second round. And then in 2018, in the second round, you drafted the infamous Still Walker, who was traded for Nomar Mazara. But those are kind of like the leftover guys where you hope that one of those guys could develop. Maybe it is Gavin Sheets, but the problem, too, is you can say that Andrew Vaughn can't hit right-handed pitching, and that is accurate right now.
Yeah.
Gavin Sheets can't hit left-handed pitching either, so it's kind of a problem.
Yeah, and you know what it is? I appreciate the call, Tom.
Solution would be to platoon them because that is an issue.
Right, and you could do that. I mean, and I'm eager to see if, in fact, that is one of the things the White Sox plan on doing, if, in fact, they can't get somebody to be that right field guy.
It just doesn't seem like that's the right solution for a team that is here and making a play for the big trophy.
Yeah. And I think, and I agreed with Tom a lot about what he did, because I thought they should have ran away. They should have won that division easily. And, they would have been hosting games, not going to Houston. And, it hurt by not winning the division. Hopefully they don't take their foot off the gas pedal again next year, if in fact they're in the same situation. So we'll see what happens.
I don't know if they will be.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. I promise we'll talk Bears and a little bit of Bulls when we come back. You want to jump in? 312-332-3776. Enjoying all this baseball talk on a December 1st evening.
It's a nice night out.
Yeah, it's a really nice night out. In for Black 50s. And Abdallah. Baseball going to be locked out as of 11 o'clock Chicago time tonight. But Marcus Stroman is now a Cub. The White Sox have Lurie Garcia for 3 years. Let's get excited about baseball.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
So it all happened quickly with the Cubs and Marcus Stroman. Cubs putting out the release tonight. Cubs agreed to terms with right-handed pitcher Marcus Stroman, 3-year major league contract. And the deals, you know, the press releases never say how much money, but we had 3 years, $71 million. And Jesse Rogers on the Zoom with Marcus Stroman said, Stroman on Zoom now says the deal came about quickly. His agent told him last night the Cubs were interested, and he jumped on a flight from LAX, got to Chicago, took his physical, and signed. So Marcus Stroman, one of the other guys that said, a lot of guys said, listen, I want to have a deal and know where I'm going before this.
That's motivation. Yeah. If a guy's willing to just jump on a plane and get here to get that physical done, you know, he wants to be here.
Yeah,
and you want people that want to be around, not just because you're paying them.
Right. I mean, if the lockout lasts 2-3 months, these guys want to know where they're at. They don't want to have to worry about it until then. And then have to try to figure it out.
That would drive me nuts right now to know we're going into a lockout.
Yeah.
Not knowing how long it's going to be and where I'm going to play.
Yeah, you have absolutely no idea. Bears are getting ready to take on Arizona. Arizona has had more rest than the Bears will have had when the game takes place, because Arizona had their bye week last week. Cole Kmet suffered a groin injury. I'm not sure what his condition is. I know that Justin Fields was for practice today. I'm still thinking with cracked ribs that Andy Dalton would be the guy under center when the game starts. But I saw this note today on Twitter. Charles Leno, the former left tackle from the Your Chicago Bears, he is now the left tackle for the Washington Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
He has one
penalty. You mean their Washington football team?
Oh, yeah, that too. The Washington football team, WFT.
Yeah.
Instead of
WTF.
Yeah, WTF. So Charles Leno has one penalty in 11 games for Washington.
What?
Yeah, one penalty in 11 games. He had 40 in 4 years with the Bears. false starts, holdings, whatever. He's got one penalty in 11 games.
Is that coaching?
I was going to say, is that coaching? Is that the maturation of a player that he learns?
Automatically learns as soon as he leaves the Bears.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see who exactly is that on.
How many players do we now have are overperforming compared to what they were doing for us in recent years?
Oh, there's several.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah,
Leonard Floyd. Too many.
Yeah,
too many.
It happens quite often. Pro Football Focus has Leno ranked as the 14th best left tackle in the league. Jason Peters is ranked 21st. So
was Leno even on that list when he was wearing blue and orange?
Oh, I don't know. All right, that's a good question.
Most likely, probably not. Or ranked toward the bottom.
Yeah. I got a couple of Bulls notes. We'll get to those in a minute. First, let's go on out to Buffalo Grove. And Brian, you're on ESPN 1000 with Fred and Xander. What's up?
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Going well.
Hey, real quick comment that I want to make about the Bears. You know, with their defense is up in flux, I would say Kendall Vildor has not done the job that everybody would probably expect him to do. The Bears drafted a corner in the sixth round, I think it was, when it was Thomas Graham out of Oregon. I don't know why they don't just elevate him to the 53 and put him out there and get him. I mean, they're developing Justin Fields, so why wouldn't you develop somebody that's going to be opposite of Jalen Johnson?
Because right now, and I know this is going to sound weird, but right now they're still trying to win games. And
that does sound weird.
It does, I know. And they're trying to make sure that they can go with their best. I mean, they gave Vildor a hell of a chance. They played him last year. He was their starter this year. And they didn't move him out of that starting job until last week, until that game against Detroit. And you saw all of a sudden, you looked out there and it was... who the heck was it? The cornerback position. It was Artie Burns.
You know what? But Brian does have a point. At some juncture, you are going to have to test what you have.
Yeah.
And look, we tested that. We did it to Vildor, and that didn't work out. Now I guess we're...
It hasn't yet.
Yeah.
I mean, they still like him enough, I'm sure. I'll be interested to see what they do this week when they're going up against DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray and an Arizona team that could score points. But, yeah, Thomas Graham is the guy he's talking about. He's on the practice squad along with another 16 players. And they just signed a guy yesterday was in the paper today. D. Virgin, he's a cornerback. And they just signed him, so he'll also be a guy they're looking for.
Right. On the practice squad.
Right. Yeah. So Vildor is still listed along with Marquis Christian, Xavier Crawford. Eddie Jackson was healthy, and he didn't tackle a lot of people the other day, but he at least he did play a little bit better in the secondary for the Bears against the Lions. So Elijah Wilkinson has COVID, another one. And, I understand playing their younger guys and getting a chance to see them. But I think when a guy's on the practice squad, they're probably saying, listen, he's getting his work during the week. He's working out and doing all the other things. He's just not ready to take over.
I go back to, if you keep doing the same damn thing and it's not working, shake it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I think that would be shaking it up.
Yeah. I thought Thanksgiving Day was shaking it up when they didn't have Vildor out there and they had Jalen Johnson on the other side.
Yeah.
Johnson usually lines up on the right side. He was on the left side most of that game. So we'll see how they can play and how they do against that. I got some bull stuff. One thing I wanted to mention really quickly, and that was the Bulls are at the Knicks tomorrow, and then they play the Nets, I think, this weekend. Kobe White, COVID. He's down 10 days. He's got to have two negative tests.
Boy, he's had a rough...
Yeah, shoulder and everything else. And, you know, this is after Vooch had COVID, and he was out for a while. The Bulls announced today, according to Billy Donovan, that they are going to go back to daily testing.
Not a bad idea.
Everybody on the Bulls team, they're all vaccinated. And this is the second breakthrough case. Vooch was the one guy they lost for 10 days. Now they're going to lose Kobe White, who was just getting to be, what they were hoping for. And now it's
back to square one and delayed for a while.
Yeah.
I don't think that testing every day is a bad idea.
No, it's not. I mean, if the league can do it, it's optional,
but obviously they see a need now.
If the league can do it, I mean, if your team can do it, Go right ahead. 312-332-3776. The NBA finally stepped up and said, no, the Bulls can't do what they did. But it really, talk about a slap on the wrist. This wasn't even a slap on the wrist.
This is
they got penalized.
Two-fingered slap on the wrist.
We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Fred and Xander in for Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. This hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Coach Collins and the Cats host DePaul, Illinois, Purdue, and more at Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Buy tickets now at nusports.com.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Black and Abdallah, ESPN 1000, and now on digital FM at 100.3 HD2.
So we all knew that there was probably something fishy about the Bulls going and getting Lonzo Ball in a sign-and-trade
deal. Yeah, right when it happened. Yeah. We were like, wait, they're going to have to get looked at.
There can't be any talking, and all of a sudden, 3 minutes afterwards, this is all done? A sign-and-trade and everything?
That's a quick conversation.
It's very, very, very quick. So the NBA had originally said that they were looking into this, and they came down today, and they took away a second-round pick after the Lonzo Ball investigation. So the Bulls will lose a second-round pick. The Bulls don't have a second-round pick until 2026. And Lonzo Ball, after this came out, the Bulls put out a release. Lonzo Ball is the only player this year in the NBA with 100 or more rebounds, 100 or more assists, 35 or more steals, and 15 or more blocks.
You think that was a brilliant move?
It's kind of like...
Yeah.
You know, it was a good move. Everything worked out well. And we're not going to.
We'll take that slap on the wrist 4 years from now.
We're not going to leave the bad news out there. We're going to put out some good news that Lonzo Ball and the Bulls organization made a great move. And it is. And I've said every single time I've opened up a microphone and talked about the Bulls and Lonzo Ball, I was wrong. Yeah, I was wrong. He's a heck of a player. I'm glad he's on the Bulls.
We talked about this. Yeah. Many people knew his name because of his father.
And his father was actually here when they played Charlotte the other day. LaMelo and Lonzo going head-to-head against each other. And that was a fun game, and the Bulls pulled away. Of course, that was a game that Vooch starts hitting, gets 30 points. I actually took Charlotte plus 5, and it was Monday because I took Charlotte plus 5 points, and I took the Redskins and the Seahawks under. Well, the Redskins-Seahawks game was like 14-9 or whatever it was. It was a low-scoring game. So I was winning that, and I go, really? And all Vooch is hitting threes from everywhere. Vooch is hitting 30. It's like, come on.
Where'd you come from?
I said, I didn't think the Bulls would lose, but I thought Charlotte would keep it within 5.
Yeah, right. You know, back to the whole Lonzo Ball punishment, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
You would think that the NBA would, and not that I necessarily want them to do that now, but, you know, should there be a stiffer penalty for that? Because of,
I mean, it's so
non-consequential.
Yeah. Right. There definitely should be a stiffer penalty. Because if you don't want the other teams to do it, taking a second round
that
pick
certainly is not going to stop anybody from doing that. Especially if you're right.
Right.
Like we were.
Yeah. That's not going to take anybody.
Well, not we, but, you know.
Right. Not going to keep anybody away.
Taking the credit.
Yeah. And they'll definitely do it again. It'll happen again. I'm sure it will. No, there's no doubt about it. And that's fine. I mean, I don't mind. That's fine. As long as they can, you know.
I wonder what the duration of time should be to where it's not suspicious. 3 minutes is a little
Yeah,
quick.
I know.
And is that an hour?
That was very strange. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question. And it's like that in all sports. In all sports, you'll see, here's when the trade deadline starts. The trade deadline's now open. Boom, here's our first trade. Well, when do they talk?
Right.
You know,
Why do they have to announce it right away? You certainly can delay the announce and keep you out of trouble.
They want to keep you could. And they want to keep the, I guess they want to keep everybody, you know, they want to keep the fans excited, so they want to announce it as quick as they can.
Well, a small price to pay.
Yeah. We talked earlier when we were upstairs in the IDOT bullpen. IDOT bullpen brought to you by IDOT's LifeOrDeathIllinois.com. Wearing your safety belt is the single best way to defend yourself in the event of a crash. Buckle up. Stay safe. We were talking upstairs, and with all of the money that's being thrown around to college football coaches, Mike Florio and NBC put out an article. The headline was, Top NFL Coaches Are Moving Towards $25 million.
SMH.
That's crazy. Absolutely, Chris. That's your per source direct knowledge of the dynamics of compensation paid to NFL coaches. Within the next 2 years, the top NFL coaches will indeed be making $25 million per year. Wow. Now, listen, more power to them. And the NFL is just making money hand over fist. Okay? The TV deals that get announced, every single TV deal gets announced.
But don't you think that's going to get passed down to people like you and me?
Oh.
Somehow, some way.
The money?
Yes.
No. No. It won't get passed down to any of us.
No. Meaning the price.
Oh, yeah, how would you get paid?
No, yeah, I'm getting a dividend check.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think, maybe, but why?
See, shouldn't and won't are two different things.
What should happen is that when they make a big deal with TV rights, they should lower the ticket prices.
Agreed.
Lower parking.
Agreed.
Is that actually going to happen?
No way.
No, that'll never happen. See, when they get the check from the NFL for the broadcast rights, that more than pays for all of their players.
Absolutely.
So everything else pays for their training facilities, their office staff, all the other stuff.
I'm all up for capitalism, but, you know, if the coaches are making $25 million a year, the money is there, but things aren't getting any cheaper for the fans that power.
No.
The leagues.
No. Well, and I was talking upstairs when we were talking, and Sean Davis, our producer today, I'm a huge fan of high school basketball. And I went to a high school game last night with my buddy Chet Brett out to see Glenbard West. And Glenbard West, according to Michael O'Brien in the Sun-Times and their rankings, they're ranked as the number one team in the state. And I can see why. A bunch of tall guys that were playing a 1-3-1 trapping defense against DeKalb. DeKalb Wexley's not a bad team, but against Glenbard West, they had a hard time getting shots off.
What was the final?
73-36. Yeah. 73-36, they pretty much doubled them up. And but, you know, Glenbard West is a really good school, and I love going to high school basketball games. You get to see the talent out there. One of the kids from Glenbard West, he's going to Gonzaga, I think it is. Another kid is going to the Air Force Academy. So it's great.
Did you meet a player that had a brother that's playing for the Bengals?
No, he's playing for Cincinnati Football College.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought the Bengals. Okay.
No. Yeah, his last name's Pierce, and the kid's really good. And I talked to him after the game, and he was excitable, and they should be because they're ranked really high. They got some tough games coming up. I know they play Whitney Young, and they play Lyons Township this week. They're in the division that's near my house because Glenbard West is in Glen Ellen, and I'm in Downers, so they play Downers North. They play Hinsdale Central. They play Lyons Township. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if they are. Well, none of them are going to be as good as these guys. These guys are really good, but at least I'll get a chance to see them. So if you get a chance, go on out and see some good high school basketball because there's a lot of it. Even if it's
cheap, accessible, you see a lot of passion.
The getting in was $5, and they had great food. I had a brat and a soda, another $5. So I spent $10. It was a great night of entertainment. Plus, high school basketball, game started at 7 o'clock. Game over 8:10. An hour and 10 minutes.
Just your speed.
Oh, my. It was all unbelievable. It was so much fun. Get out there, play the game, and
if only concerts were that quick and cheap.
If only pro sports could be that quick. Or maybe even that quick. I'm good for 2 hours. That's why I'm a soccer fan. Soccer's always over in 2 hours. Always. Almost never goes longer.
That's pretty much how you measure everything, right? That's why we do two-hour shows.
That's exactly why. Plus, they don't want us to do any more than that.
Yeah, it's enough.
Yeah, as Saturday, you were doing one-hour show.
Yeah. I think they're trying to tell us.
Uh-huh. Saturday, we'll be here after Black and Abdallah, after their Chicago's College tailgate this week. They're in Oak Brook Terrace, and they are at, what the heck's the name of the place? I go there all the time. I watch them do shows. I've done shows out there, but they're Oak Brook Terrace this coming Saturday from 11 to 1.
11 to 1, and then we'll follow for an hour.
Yeah, and then we got the I think it's the SEC championship right here. So thanks for listening. Marcus Stroman is now a member of the Cubs. Lurie Garcia is a member of the White Sox for 3 more years, and the Bears still continue prep for the Arizona Cardinals. So we'll talk more about that Saturday.
Three hours left until the lockout.
Yes.
Could something else happen?
Make sure you catch Jesse Rogers on ESPN TV tonight. It should be fun, and he'll break it all down for you. Thanks for listening here on ESPN 1000.